Again for this afternoon. Thank you for another opportunity to hear the word of God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, and your word is a light unto our path. We pray, Lord, that your word will have free course this morning and be glorified. We pray for utterance in the Holy Spirit. We pray for the grace for understanding and learning. The opening of our eyes to behold and to understand. Give us humble hearts to receive the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Powerful. So, Mark chapter 5 is the foundation scripture. You know, when you look throughout the Gospels, you will see many references to evil spirits, but there is none of them that gives us as much detail and as much learning as we find in Mark chapter 5. Amen. In the story in Mark chapter 5, we have the case of someone who has, or we have an example of a full-blown case of demon possession. Amen. So, from that extreme, we can understand what demons do or what they would like to do with a person depending on how much control they have over the person. Amen. Right. So, demonic activity in people's lives is not always to the same extent or to the same degree. Amen. But here is a man who had the most demons I have ever heard about. Amen. Which is that he had enough demons to enter 2,000 pigs. Hallelujah. Now, whether that means it's 2,000 demons or more, because I don't know how many went into each pig. I don't know if the demons had the time to say, let's share. Okay, everybody, one for you, one for me. One for you, one for me. I don't know if that's what actually happened. But perhaps two or three, because you see, demons also move in groups. For example, if you have an evil spirit that make you steal, usually you would also have a spirit that makes you lie. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So they move in groups. That is why you see sometimes certain habits that people are addicted to or that they cannot break away from, usually they are not alone. You know, it's this and that and that. Do you get it? Because it's a group, isn't it? It's a group. When you watch movies and you watch some of these movies that involve a lot of high-level stealing and so on, you have the guys that do the stealing, but they always have some IT guy who is going to disable the alarm, who is going to, you know, scramble the infrared rays, you know, and do all those kinds of things. So it's a group. Then you have another one who drives the van that pretends to be a delivery van. Have you seen any of those movies? Yeah, you have the guy who must drive the van that pretends to be the delivery van. And then you have the other one who is working the computer inside the van. Do you understand? Huh. So that whole team works together to bring success to their purpose, isn't it? Yeah, so you can't just have somebody who is good at stealing or climbing buildings. You know, like there was one movie I saw one day where the guy was climbing the building, like he was climbing the building like 100 and something floors. Man, I mean, we were born on Sunday, but not last Sunday. They are lying to us. You get it. But you don't just need that guy. You need another one who watches for him. Do you understand? Then you need another one who is in the getaway vehicle. And then the other one who is also running the communication system. And that whole group brings success to what they are out to do. Amen. So in the same way, evil spirits often work in groups. And that is why you would find often that people who do a particular thing, even people who commit adultery, also have to be good at lying, you see, and pretending And you need an evil spirit to help you also hide it. Do you get it? Yeah. If you want to be a successful thief, you need to be able to tell believable lies. Do you understand? If you can't be a great thief, if you're not a great liar. Hallelujah. So that is what we're learning. And so it's possible that the demons were actually many more than 2,000. But they went into 2,000 pigs. Amen. Right. So let's start reading, everybody. Why don't we all just read it together today? You know, let's read and we'll run through the verses as we go along. We're going to read all the way maybe up to about verse 14. Okay. Monique, you can also read along with us in French. Okay. All right. So let's go. And they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains. Are you reading? And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Verse 6. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Verse 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was there not unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And verse 12, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Why did everybody keep quiet there? Okay, verse 16. And they that saw it told how it befell to them that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. Verse 17. And they began to pray to him to depart out of their coast. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. So right there, we can see the story and how it played out in the case of this man. He's called the madman of Gadara. Hallelujah. Now, today, I want to talk about, or what we want to learn out of this story, is the concept of territorialism. Amen. Which is that demons are territorial. Hallelujah. Now, what do we mean by demons are territorial? We mean by that demons occupy specific places. Amen. Demons occupy and work in specific places. Different demons and different spirits take over different places. And so depending on which place they have taken over, you would find their characteristics displayed more in that particular area or place. Hallelujah. Now, notice in verse 10, how that the demons began to beg Jesus. He says, and he besought him much that he would not. Okay, maybe come to verse 9 so we can join it. Verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 10. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, isn't this interesting? My name, that's different from our name, isn't it? He says, my name is Legion, for we are many. So that means probably the captain was the one speaking. Are you getting the picture? He says, my name is Legion, for we are many. Then in verse 10, he says, and he besought him much. So this is still, this he here is still the captain, isn't it? Or whoever it was that was speaking at that time. He said, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Hallelujah. The demons did not ask, you know, don't send us out of the man. They knew that as far as the man was concerned, they were done. Because they had met a power that would not spare them. Hallelujah. So now they begin to negotiate for the next best thing. That I know you're going to cast us out of this place. And we accept it. We will go. But please don't send us out of the country. Isn't that interesting? Which means then that those evil spirits actually lived in that country. And whatever their characteristics were and their features and their strengths were, would be experienced mostly by people who live in that country. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you hearing my little message this morning? Yeah. Amen. So we can see right there that demons live in territories. They occupy specific places and spaces. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you a couple of other verses that will help you to understand this more clearly. Amen. Yeah. Let me show you a couple of other verses that will help you understand this more clearly. All right? Now, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and from verse 43. Matthew chapter 12. And from verse 43. Okay. Now in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43, Jesus is giving us a small lesson about demons and evil spirits. He's saying that when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking what? He's looking for rest and findeth none. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know why the demons are looking for rest. Maybe they get tired easily. But they walk through dry places looking for rest, a place to settle, and findeth none. Then verse 44 says, then, verse 44, is it coming? Oh, that's 43 still. Okay. Then he saith, this is the demon, he saith, I will return into my house. Can you see that? I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then verse 45, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. Hallelujah. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Hallelujah. So give us back verse 43. From verse 43, you can see clearly that demons seem to need rest or seem to identify certain places as their place of rest. Do you understand? They call certain places their home.
He says, I will, when they go out from the man, they walk through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. He has been dislodged and removed from where he is, and so now he's unsettled. Have you ever had guests or you know, been in a situation before where you had to move out of your room? Do you understand? When you had to move out of your room and maybe stay in the living room or stay in some place like that. You see, it goes with a little bit of unsettlement. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You see, or you're in something, let's say you're driving a car you're not used to driving, you know, or wearing clothes that are not yours. Isn't it? Let's say you go somewhere, you have an accident with some juice or something, you get it, and then you have to borrow Shegun's shirt. Do you understand? Now, if you're Michael, you don't want to be borrowing maybe Shegun is not a good example. Akwesi's shirt. Do you understand? Now, if you are Michael, you don't want to be borrowing Akwesi's shirt. But the thing is that it's the only alternative. Otherwise, you're going to have to go home like that. Do you understand? So Michael is going to borrow one of Akwesi's shirts. You get it? Then Akwesi's shirt is going to come on Michael and it will look like a bed sheet around Michael. It will look like he wrapped a bed sheet around himself. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Hallelujah. So you are clothed, all right. But you can't wait to get home. You can't wait to change into your own clothes and change into more comfortable clothing because that's what you're used to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you can see right there that the spirits, when they go out, they walk through dry places seeking rest and they don't find any place. Then the next thing they do is in verse 44, which says that they say to themselves, I will return into my house. Do you understand? So demons identify specific places or persons as, this is my place. Do you understand? That a demon's plan is not just to be flying around as we think and just all over the place, just moving around. No, it's this is my location. This is where I am. Whether it's a country or a person or a neighborhood or whatever it is, this is my area and this is where I'm comfortable at and this is where my operations are based. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that is another example. Now, the other example I give you is in Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we read also from verse 10 that we should put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay? My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Do you understand? It says against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I have an amen? Now, what I wanted you to see is the word principality, okay? Because the word principality is a word that describes a ruler of a domain, an area. Do you understand? So he is the principal of the area. Do you understand? This is the word from which we get principals. Once you think of a principal, you're thinking of someone who is in charge of at least a school, isn't it? Yeah. In modern terminology, principal is used often to describe someone who looks after a school, a principal. Okay, so right there you see that spirits are also called principalities, isn't it? That means they rule over specific areas and domains. Can I have an amen? So you can see clearly that demons occupy territories and they occupy places. Amen. That is why you need to be careful often when you change even your environment. When you go into a new place, you go into a new area, you need to be very careful. Because what happens is that specific places have specific characteristics. Is it not the case? Yeah. So you need to watch out when you change your location. That's why drugs don't happen everywhere. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why drugs don't happen everywhere. That's why when people even start to have families, they want to relocate to a certain place. Do you see? Where they hope that their children will be safe. Now, why can't the drug, if the drug can be sold here, why can't it be sold here? Do you see what I'm saying? Because you are coming from one location to the other. Let's say you're going from this place to the train station. What prevents drugs that are being sold there from being sold here? Why can't the drug come here to be sold? Because it's just a person. The person just has to drive up here and he should be able to sell and do his business here. But often the business does not work here. You'll be surprised that just between here and here, sometimes it's even just a street that divides neighborhoods. And this neighborhood is terrible and this neighborhood is okay. Do you understand? And it is because there are spirits that occupy these places. Are you understanding the message? Does it make sense to you? Is it answering some of your questions? Yeah. So you see, when everybody gets ready to buy a house, they are looking to buy, where are the places where the demons that break into cars have not discovered? Amen. Now, the reason why the demons are there is not because the demons cannot afford the mortgage in that area. Because demons don't pay mortgage. Demons don't pay rent. Do you understand? But the thing is that demons are not at rest everywhere. Are you getting the picture? They are not at rest everywhere. And the aim is to be at rest. He wants to be comfortable. He wants to be in a place where no one is harassing him. Do you understand? So, demons cannot go to every place. But every place also has its type of demon. So, you have places where there may be no drugs being sold there. You don't see any people drunk. You don't see homeless people in the streets. But in the homes, different spirits have also taken over the people. Sometimes depression. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. One of the things you don't see in some of the so-called rundown areas of town is suicide. People don't commit suicide in such places. Do you understand? Often when you hear that someone has committed suicide, typically they are in some suburban area, you know, with a nice house, and it raises the question, oh, why? What happened? You know, why? Why? You know? It is because these areas are occupied by specific evil spirits. Can I have an amen? So if you get that lesson, then what are the implications? I'm going to give you a few implications and then we will close. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you enjoying the message?
Yes.
Okay, since you're enjoying it, I'll continue. All right. Number one implication is that church planting is more difficult in some places than others. Are you getting it? Because of this, church planting is more difficult in some places than others. And number two, it will be more difficult, therefore, for churches to grow in more places than others. Hallelujah. Yeah. It will be more difficult for churches to grow in certain places than others. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, you find that as you travel around, you're going to see that planting churches is not the same everywhere. Amen. It's not the same everywhere. That you, especially when you come around the Western world, and it's even worse in Europe. It's even worse in Europe where people are now getting into atheism and a lot of people do not even believe in God anymore. Many people in Europe, many church buildings are for sale. People are buying church buildings. They are using them for apartment complexes and all kinds of things like that. There are many people in Europe who have never been to a church before, even in America. I met someone the other day. He had never been to a church before. I mean, he's never ever stepped in a church. Does not know what happens in a church. Yeah, but it's happening right here. Do you understand? So you see that sometimes when you go to a place where the atmosphere is more conducive for church planting, where you see that the demons that attack churches and church planting, those demons perhaps don't exist in that place to that extent, you're going to find that the churches in those places seem to be established easier and quicker, and they do even better. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Then you go to another place, and then you try to plant a church, and you try to dig the ground to have a church. Is not an easy thing at all. Hallelujah. Sometimes you see certain places, you don't see any large church in the city. You see many churches, but they are all small churches in the area. I think Oakland is one of those places. But we are breaking that power in the name of Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're going to build a mega church in Oakland. We're going to defy every spirit that lives here in Oakland in the name of Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes you may feel, you see a pastor who preach in a certain place, it looks like he's not anointed, but it's not the same. It's the place. Are you getting it? It's a harder place to till, but you still have victory by the grace of God in Jesus' name. Amen. The next implication also is that prayer is not the same everywhere. What I mean is that prayer is more difficult in some places. Prayer or praying is more difficult in some places. Now, if you don't travel, you may not really understand properly what I am sharing with you. But as you travel, even from state to state, you're going to find that when you get to certain places, it's more natural for you to wake up in the morning and you're praying. And you don't struggle. And then when you get to certain other places, the prayer doesn't seem to flow. You pray a little bit and then it's a certain release is not coming for the prayer. And I experience that a lot. When I get to places and I know there are evil spirits, like when I go to Florida, I feel there are demons in this place, I tell you. Yeah. I feel that this place, there are some spirits here. You it's so tight spiritually. But we are breaking through in that place too, in the name of Jesus. I just came from there last night. We had a camp there, very powerful camp. I said, the demons are afraid in this place. I tell you, we're going to blast the place for Jesus also and do our best for the Lord over there. Can I have an amen? Amen. So how many have you got? Number three, right? You've got number one is what? Church planting, isn't it? Number two is church growth, isn't it? Then number three is prayer. Number four, marriage is also different from place to place. Yeah, it is true. It is true. Because of the evil spirits in a particular place, you are more prone to divorce when you are in a certain place than when you are in another place. That is the truth. See, and people attribute it to culture. But you see, what is culture? Culture is simply the way people do things over a long time, such that the people come to be associated with that way of doing things, and we call that their culture. So it includes the way they dress, what they eat, you know, their dances, and so on. Now, when the evil spirits live there and influence the people, then the evil spirits seem to modify and help define that culture. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you can have a culture of promiscuity. You can have a place where it's not a problem. Everybody goes with everybody. It's not a problem. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. There was one brother who was sharing with us. He said that in his country, they have some type of festival or something like that, that they have. And when that day comes, they all meet. Anybody can. You come and meet under a certain tree. And then anybody can be with anybody. It's part of the celebrations It's a West African country. I'm trying not to mention the name. He said, "Oh yeah, everybody just comes to that place. You know, everybody, any, you just go there, you're up for grabs." Are you getting it? Yeah. So marriage is not the same in every place. You see that sometimes, especially marriages around here. I mean, you walk around places. When I lived in New York, there was billboards, divorce. Divorce now. You know, big sign, $50. Yeah, it's a divorce, $50. And it's a big billboard. The lawyer has put it there. Yeah. So complete your divorce by tomorrow. And the sign is there. Yeah. Are you getting it? Yes. Las Vegas is another place that has its own type of evil spirits. Especially in that particular place. You see? So it is very, very important for us to understand. So sometimes you see that you are having challenges with your marriage. It's not even because you have married the wrong person, but it is because of where you are. Yeah. Because of where you are. You see, demons, they influence our thinking by telling us lies. Do you understand? The devil's power is in lies. The commonest expression of the devil is in telling lies. The Bible says he is a liar and the father of it. You see, so sometimes as you are in the place, evil spirits are guiding your thoughts and guiding what you believe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you don't take a strong hold of the word of God, you will find out that you believe what the Bible calls doctrines of devils. A doctrine of a devil is a teaching that comes from the devil. So it seems to make sense, but it's actually from the devil. Hallelujah. When you live in a place where you watch television programs, talk shows, and all kinds of things, and you see all kinds of rottenness going on in the society, you should beware, because it starts to shape up your thinking and it starts to redefine what you believe and redefine your values. Very soon, things that used to be wrong don't feel so wrong anymore. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, they don't feel so wrong anymore. Hallelujah. So from place to place, from nation to nation, you find that these kinds of things also change. Hallelujah. The next implication, how many have I given you so far? Four of them. Number five, it means business is also different in different places. Business is also different in different places. In certain places, it does not even exist. It cannot work. Because sometimes even the spirits of greed, do you understand? They don't exist in that place. So a certain level of business cannot take place. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. The spirits of greed, which often drive a lot of big, big business ventures, don't exist in some of these places. And so you see certain types of business cannot work in those places. Many places in Africa are like that. Do you get it? The certain spirits are not there. Other spirits, but not the spirits of a certain strong appetite for money is not there. I mean, when you go to some of the villages in those places, I mean, people are just content. I mean, and because of that, they can afford a lot of happiness. Do you understand? Because that particular spirit does not seem to have a stronghold in that particular place. Some other spirit does, but not the spirit that makes you hungry for money. Do you understand? The love of money, which the Bible says is the root of all evil, that spirit that generates that is not in that place. So you see that the people don't seem to progress and they don't seem to advance in that place, because a lot of those kinds of things come from that angle. Can I have an amen? Well, it also means, next one, you will not have certain problems until you go to certain places. Isn't it? It means you will not have certain problems until you go to certain places. It is very common to hear that So and so traveled to this place and he's spoilt now. Who has heard that before? Yeah. You know someone who traveled to a certain place and then he changed. Because when you go there, you take on the characteristics of the evil spirits that are in the area. And they start to influence you. So you see people who were not... Sorry? People who travel into America or out of America. Yes, it's true. You get it? There's a lot of pride in America. Yeah. See, someone who's never stood up to his mother or father when he comes to live in America, he starts to have a certain pride. Do you understand? Yeah. He starts to have a certain pride. Yeah. You see, and all these things, because this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. You see, so you have these kinds of evil spirits that enter people. And you see, they change. They change. There are spirits of homosexuality, especially in this part of the country. On this side of the country, yes. I have a lot of homosexuals in this part of the country. And when you go to, yet in the same country, you go to another part, it's not quite the same. That's why you see, there are many different states that are pushing for marriage, same-sex marriage, but not every state is doing that. Do you see what I'm saying? The states that are doing that are the places where those spirits are strong and have a stronghold in that area. Then they start to push for that kind of thing. You get it? How can a man marry a man? Shame on you. Hallelujah. What are you trying to do? Amen. And I think it's a bad idea for the president to add his voice to such a thing. It's a very bad idea. You get it? And he may not even personally believe it. Maybe it's a political move or something. But I still think that it lends a certain, you know, freedom, you see, and releases people to do it with a certain freedom because the president or the principality of the country has actually endorsed it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't think it's a good thing. Amen. Right. So the next one. See. Already our sisters can't find husbands. Now the few men that are left. You are sharing them for the men. What will our sisters do? They should come and ask me. I will talk to them. Yeah. I'm a pastor. I care about my sheep. So it bothers me. Amen. Next one. This is a very important one. It also means you must sanctify every home or room or dwelling place you move into before you settle there. Amen. Are you getting it? Yeah. It means you must sanctify every home or every room or dwelling place that you move into. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why often when I hear that my church members are moving house, one of the things I like to do is to go to the house and pray over there. So when you move, please give me a chance to pray. Amen. Give me a chance to pray or call Pastor Moneno or any of the pastors. You know, Pastor Henry is here. You can also call him to come and pray in your house for you. Can I have an amen? It's very important. Hallelujah. I tell you. You see, look, I've been in hotel room. The other day I was in a hotel room. I thought that there was somebody there in the room with me. I'm telling you. So one of the things I do, as soon as I enter the room, I say a prayer and then I release my music. Do you understand? I have a small personal atmosphere creator. You know, all of you must invest in you have a small iPod. You see, my iPod is in my pocket. You see, so you have a small iPod like this. Or it doesn't have to be an iPod, any MP3 device. Then these days they have all these nice little speakers, small one like that. I bought one the other day. It's about this height or even shorter. It's a very small one, you know, so that you can create a spiritual atmosphere around you. So you can play preaching, you can play music. I usually have two, so I can have the preaching, you know, the iPad can connect and start playing the preaching. And then my other one can play the music. Immediately, I start to take over the atmosphere. Because evil spirits don't like atmospheres where there's preaching. Yeah. They don't like atmosphere where people are worshiping, because worship brings the presence of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, when I was in that hotel room, I felt, look, every few seconds, I would feel, I thought I was seeing a movement around the door. And I would be there alone, I tell you. And I'll walk to the door, search everywhere. I couldn't see anything. I said, maybe it's my imagination. Do you understand? But so much goes on in hotel rooms. So much goes on in hotel rooms. A lot of evil goes. A hotel is a home, a place. How to have a room, rent a room to do an evil you don't want to do in your house. That's what a hotel is. And they shouldn't come and sack us because I said that. But that is what it is. When people want to commit adultery and fornication, they get a hotel room. People want to commit suicide, they get a hotel room. People want to do a drug deal, they get a hotel room. People want to murder somebody, they take them to a hotel room. You know, did you see that guy who murdered a girl in, was it Peru or one of those, where was it? Where? No, that's different. There was a guy, Aruba guy, who escaped Natalie Holloway's thing, and then they caught him recently. He had killed another girl. Yeah, and then you see the hotel room, the hallway cameras had taken a photo of him entering the hotel room with the girl. And it's really something when you watch it, because it's like, as this girl is going in, that is it. Next thing you hear, that you see that the guy comes out alone after that. He has actually killed a girl in the room. One time, we went to a hotel in Florida. As we approached the hotel, we were staying there at the hotel, and we had gone out to do something. On our way back into the hotel, we saw that the police had come to the area, you know, and they had sealed off a particular car, you know. So we went in there, we asked the hotel people, they wouldn't tell us what it really was. Someone said, I don't know, but we met one of the employees in the elevator. You know, when we asked him, what is going on there? He said, somebody committed suicide over there. Yeah, a guy came there to that place. He blew his brains out in the car, and then right there in the parking lot. Because it's like a home, which doesn't belong to everybody or anybody in particular, I mean. So it's like everybody's home. So people do all kinds of evil spirits can be in a hotel. That's why the greatest blessing for a hotel is the church in the hotel. I'm telling you, the services we have here every Sunday is a blessing for this hotel. We bring the presence of God here for a few hours to take control over the atmosphere in this place. Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So it's very important. Next time you move into a place, you enter a room, say a prayer. Take a few minutes and say a prayer. One time somebody told me, I think it was my mother, she said she had gone to a place, they gave her a room, a place to stay. Before she slept, she just felt like moving the pillow. When she moved the pillow, she saw two little reptiles right under the pillow. And she was just about to toss herself onto the bed when she saw those two things over there. I don't know what it is. Maybe someone brought them to do some business and left them behind. But it was in the room. But we can't do without hotels. And therefore, what we have left is the power that God has given us. That is why you must pray. Amen. When you live in an apartment, move into an apartment, you must pray. There are spirits, sometimes spirits of poverty. You enter that apartment, then your life starts to go down. Starts to go down. A spirit of prodigality, spending money unwisely, wasting every little thing that comes your way, takes over you, and you don't become anything just from living there. Sometimes it's quarrels. Prophet Kakra Prophet Kakra is one of our prophets in the church, and he was telling us one day, he said he went to visit somebody, and when he went there, he was coming down from upstairs. Let me make sure I get the story right. Yeah, he was coming down, I think, from upstairs. And then he said he saw a man sitting in the couch in the living room in his friend's house. Do you understand? A being was sitting there in the living room. And the man, the owner of the house, he didn't know who, he was living there with somebody. But there was someone there sharing the house. And he rebuked that spirit and threw the person out of the house. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the word of God? So it's very important. You must pray over rooms. If you haven't prayed over your house today, when you go, pray over your house before you enter the place. Amen. Or when you enter the place, take some oil, anoint your doorpost. It doesn't have to be done by a pastor, so don't call me yet. But just the name is for everybody. I'm just kidding. If you call me, I'll do it for you. But you can do it yourself. Can I have an amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Pray, take the name of Jesus and apply it to the doorpost of the house and declare that this place is for your habitation and for angels. Do you understand? And expel evil spirits and pray and bind every demon. Demons that bring depression. You are in the house, you are never happy. When you step out of the house, you are happy. When any time you come home, you are sad. And you don't know what is happening to you. You think it's because of the curtains. Then you change them from blue to red. When you have the red, the depression doesn't go. Then you change them. You say you want white. You make the whole place white. You paint the wall white. Even white carpet you want to have. Because you are fighting the depression. But it's not a carpet fight. It's a spiritual fight. Can I have an amen? And that's what needs to happen. There's something in that place. The demons beg, please. Get us out of the man, but don't let us leave the country. We want to be in the country. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, next one. Next implication quickly before we close. Our time is up. So, how many have you got? Number seven. Number eight. It is the explanation of the for the peculiar characteristics of races, tribes, and people groups. You didn't get that. It is the explanation for the peculiar characteristics of races, tribes, and different people groups. Hallelujah. Have you realized that often, especially among African people, they often have things, they'll say, people who come from this place are like this. Do you understand? Yeah. And then those people also think, people who come from this place are like that. Do you get it? Yeah. And often when you look at it carefully, you see that it's true. In many cases, you find that the majority of people who come from such a place have this problem. And then another group of people who come from such a place have this problem. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes even you, if you are honest, you see that where you come from, the people who come from my area, we are like this. Yeah. Either we are always poor, or we like to fight and quarrel. We like to insult people, or we like to do juju. Yeah. Do you know what juju is? Juju, voodoo, voodoo, voodoo. Yeah. Are you getting it? Or we like money. Or we're promiscuous. Yeah. And you never see a man from this area who has just one wife. No, it's not possible. He has one wife, but he has branches. The main family is here, but he has satellites. Satellite families all over the place. Are you getting what I'm saying? So this is the explanation. And that is why when you come from a particular place, first of all, you have to recognize and be honest and say that, look, my people are like this. And therefore, I will fight this spirit and I'll win in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Do you remember how we read the thing? We said all that the believers had to do was just to disagree with the spirit. Say, no, a Christian should not be fighting all the time, no matter where he comes from. Do you understand? Or a Christian should learn how to be faithful to his spouse. You see, or a person must not be such a lover of money. Everything is money. Everything is about money. No, it's not a good thing. Hallelujah. So that is the reason and that is the explanation for that kind of thing. Amen. Then the next thing, or the last one, it also means that you shouldn't judge someone who has a problem in a particular area. You shouldn't judge or mock or laugh at someone who has a particular problem. Do you understand? Because it may be that it is because you have not been in that place that you don't have that problem. That perhaps if you were where they were, if you were living where they were living, you would also have that problem. So when you hear, for example, that someone has divorced, for example, in America, you hear a lot sometimes pastors have divorced and so on. You shouldn't throw stones at them. Are you getting what I'm saying? You shouldn't throw stones at them. A lot of those pastors, if they had the values that you have, or if they were even practicing that same marriage in another place, they probably would not be divorced. But they have become sometimes victims of these evil spirits that continue to harass and enter people and try to break and destroy their marriages. Can I have an amen? Have you learned something today? Okay, stand to your feet and let's pray and bring the service to a close. Amen. Wow. I'm blessed myself. Amen. And they besought him and begged him not to cast them out of that country. Give us verse 10. Verse 10. It says, and they begged him, please do not let us leave this country. Don't let us leave. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Hallelujah. But now they are not in the man. So guess what? They are going to find another person who comes from that country. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you meet two people who are like that, one of the characteristics of the demons in the man was that, you see, the Bible says after the demons left him, he got the right mind. It means that man did not have the right mind. When the demons left him, he put on clothes, for example. So now you're going to see these same demons are going to go and enter another person who comes from that place, and he will also take off his clothes. And when you see enough people who come from this place who take off their clothes, then you are going to conclude that people who come from here, they often don't like wearing clothes. Or they like wearing skimpy clothes. Are you getting the picture? That is how it is. So you see, they haven't left the country. So you may go to that country to go to school. Or you may go to that country to do some business. Suddenly, these evil spirits who are trying to find rest, they're trying to find a home, they start to visit you and start to talk to you and start to attack you so that they can make you the next person, because their last home, they were ejected and evicted from that place by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So you need to watch out. Those of you who are immigrants who've come from somewhere, you know, it's not everything in the place where you come from that is bad. Do you understand? Some of us who come from Africa have not been attacked yet by certain evil spirits. And we must recognize that difference and stay that way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And stay that way, that this is good. Like a spirit that makes you rise up against your mother and father, it's a bad spirit. So if you have a culture that teaches you, put your hand behind you when you are talking to your mother, it's a safe culture to maintain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not that your hands, when you they hear you clearer. No, that's not what it is. But it helps you to maintain that gap. And it makes it easier for you to honor and respect your mother and your father, which becomes a blessing for you. That is what the Bible says. Do you understand? But a culture that says, allows you to say to your father, don't be silly, dad. You know, that's not a good culture. An evil spirit. It's Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you? So it's very, very important. You need to do that. Then you must also, in that same way, be honest and say that this thing about my people is also not good. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that this thing, a certain backwardness, you know, no reading, You get it? Where I come from, people don't like to read. Yeah. They have a saying, sadly, that if you want to hide something from a black man, put it in a book. He will never find it. Yeah. Because he will watch a movie, so don't put it there. He will listen to music and dance, so don't put it in a song. But the one thing you're sure he won't do is to read a book, so put it there. What a shock indeed. Do you understand? And you have to be honest and see, look, this thing is true. And sometimes look at your life and see that this thing is trying to repeat itself. Even though I've come to a land of readers, a land where everything has, it looks like you're, the first thing you need to know in this place is how to read. Because everything is written. You have to read a book, you have to read road signs, you have to read everything. So why have you come here and you are still trying to live like the old person? It means the demons are still trying to influence your life. They've cut themselves too deep into your life. Not that there's an evil spirit in you, but the evil spirit that has molded your culture is still influencing you by as you continue to live according to the dictates and characteristics of that culture. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It doesn't mean that always that there's an evil spirit in a person. What it means is that the evil spirit has designed a life for people like this, or people who come from here. So you have picked it up as, that's what I know. And you are doing it. And then it starts to sink your life. You see, it's not because the spirit is new. It's not in you. The spirit is probably back there. But you have acquired the characteristic which allows that spirit to control your life from that far. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Can everyone think of something about your people? Can you think of something? My people are like this. You can think of something. Raise up your hand if you can think of something. Yeah. And it takes honesty. Do you understand? It takes honesty. And you say that, look, my people are like this, and I am not going to be like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not going to be like that. I will not be like that. I am a Christian, and I have power over evil spirits. In the name of Jesus, amen. Lift up your hand unto the Lord, everybody. Begin to pray and say, Lord, thank you for opening my eyes to the truth of your word. Thank you for the understanding. Help me, oh God, to overcome evil spirits in the name of Jesus. Help me to overcome the spirits that attack my people, my culture, my family, my tribe. You know, maybe your tribe is known for something in particular. Just decide that I will not be known for that. I will be that one that is different in the name of Jesus. I will be that one that is different. I will be that one who is different in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Makaboru mushatari arababarababaya. Mika sotoli masenderi alababru sheke falababaya. Oh, Jesus. Masekiteri alababaya. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, blessed Comforter, Counselor, and Intercessor. You are our helper. Come on, sing it. You are a helper and a advocate, strengthener and our stand. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Yeah.
the promised land.
Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the knowledge. Thank you for the understanding. Thank you for opening our eyes to the truth. Please help us walk in them. In Jesus' name, amen.